You know, ICMC was incredible, wasn't it? One of the convictions I developed, and I hope that you developed it too, is that there is incredible power in prayer. There is insane power in prayer because it's God who we pray to. And so let's just pray. And then what we're going to do today is really recap ICMC, go through a couple of things, and you guys have the opportunity to share about some convictions that you developed, some lessons that you learned, who you are as a result of what God has said. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for you. We're so grateful for just the way that you love us, God. As that song sings, I remember being at ICMC singing that song to you, just how, you know, you see the depths of our heart, and we see the depths of our heart, God. We don't love ourselves as a result, but you see the depths of our heart, and you love us the same, God.
Yeah.
And we're just so thankful that we serve you, God. That we serve and love you and get to be better for you. We get to go to conferences where literally for 3-4 days, we get to listen to messages that are shaping us to be better for you. And God, in all the decisions and all the things that we heard, God, we just pray that you move in our hearts really to be better for you. That the New Jersey Campus Ministry right here changes to grow and individually and corporately grow to be better for you, God.
Mm-hmm.
Help us develop deep convictions. We love you so much. Bless our midweek. Praise your son's name. Amen.
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 Come on, man.
All right. So I get married in 3 days.
I'll be there.
Guys, it's nuts. Mr. Chamberlain. You know, I remember 140 days. I remember saying 20 weeks and being like, oh my gosh, I have to wait 20 weeks to get married, and now it's 3 days. And
jeez.
I appreciate a lot of your guys' support, because I probably would have pulled all my hair out by now if it wasn't for a lot of your patience and love with me. But, you know, what was really cool, and I'm not using this as a pedestal or a tree stump to kind of share about how I feel, but what was really cool that I felt, who went to ICMC, by the way? Come on, baby. Now, if you didn't go to ICMC, that's okay. We're going to share a lot about that today. You're going to have a chance, hopefully by osmosis, to be inspired about what was heard and what was done at ICMC.
Right.
But one of the big lessons that we pulled away from ICMC, it seemed like every single lesson was just laden with lessons about God's grace.
Yeah.
I was blown away. I felt like lesson after lesson after lesson, which is about how we don't deserve this love, yet God has so poured himself out for us. And again, my pedestal here, I feel like Brielle is my biggest example of this.
Come on.
Because I know I don't deserve it. With the person I am, the things that I've done, it's just really cool being at ICMC, being reminded of grace and getting a physical representation of that
right in
front of me. So, amen. So, Revelation chapter 1, verse 8.
Come on, bro.
The theme of that ICMC was the Alpha and Omega. Think about that for a second. That's I don't even know if that's Greek, but those are things that are tossed around like nobody's business. But think about that for a second. The beginning and the end.
Right.
God was there before all creation, and through him all creation was made. And he is the end. We don't even know when the end is going to be. Is there an end? But it doesn't matter. But it encapsulates God being all things, being through all things, all powerful. And we're just a dust of sand in a universe of beach. I love this. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, the theme of our ICMC comes forth. He goes, anytime you hear God speak in the Bible, it's so powerful. He goes, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I mean, what an inspiring verse. And there's so much. We could do a whole lesson just talking about who was and is to come. We're not going to do that. But instead, what I learned from ICMC, and we're going to break it down, but some of the main major concepts that we have to pull away from ICMC was this idea that God is all-powerful. Mm-hmm. that God is powerful through our sin, through the hard, through the good. God is above, and he's able to bring us through. And then we also understood that despite him being an incredibly powerful God who could create us and mush us to dust, he's that same God who loves us.
Right. Yeah.
And desires to be intimate with our souls. And it's so cool. And so here's what we're going to do. Just for the sake of taking what we learned from ICMC and bringing it back here, I'm just going to recap all the main lessons. And so you've heard these lessons before, but I'm just going to kind of take what we learned in North Carolina and bring it back to Jersey, okay? So this is going to be a refresher for a lot of you. For those of you who didn't go to ICMC, this is going to be brand new for you.
All right.
Thanks.
If you ever read your Bible, hopefully it's the same thing. But what we're going to do at the end is I'm going to go through all this. And as you're listening to me and as we're going through just these main points, maybe you have your notes from the lessons too. But the end of when I'm done is we're going to create a line and on both sides of me. And
right.
What I want you guys to do is to share not just what you learned from ICMC, like Charles was saying, not just words, but matters of power, of decisions, of convictions that you pulled from ICMC. What did you learn, and who are you going to be as a result of what you learned? Okay? And I'll read a scripture in order to kind of preface that. But the first lesson that we heard for ICMC was the Lord of Lords.
Mm.
With Matt Fisk. You
come on, Matt Fisk.
I mean, he went through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he basically said the idols equals worthless. The word idol simply just means worthless.
Right.
And he said that in our hearts, idols equal worthless, but that all of us in some way or another worship an idol. And he goes, you know, where is your idolatry? Where is your idol? And I remember him saying, he goes, when you are laying in bed at night and you're closing your eyes, where does your mind go to?
Right.
Well, what are those sweet nothings in bed? Where are those things that your mind goes to for comfort?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is it people? Is it music? Is it food? Or is it God? Mm. You know, and that was such a cool challenge just for our own hearts. Of, you know, Matt made the point is that God did design a hole in our heart. God designed an idol that ought to be filled in our heart, void in our heart that needs to be filled.
Yep.
And how the world goes after and after and after all these things to fill it. But really, God is that only fill to the idol. We have that solution. And so he talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he says, you know, when you're trusting in God, and he goes through the example of when they're about to be burned for not worshiping the idol, the big statue of Nebuchadnezzar. They stand up and they go, you know, no, we are not going to bow down to your God. We believe that God can take care of us. And then Matt goes, well, I think Abednego probably said this. He goes, even if he doesn't, right? Even if he doesn't, we'll never bow down.
Right.
And so Matt challenged us to have an even if faith.
Yeah.
I'm not simply worshiping God for all the glitz and the glamour, but rather worshiping God because he is God.
Mm-hmm.
Worshiping him because we know who he is. Even if he doesn't come through, I won't bow down to the idols of this world because I know that my God is my God. And then he closes off with a really just deep point on grace about how when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fire, how they came out unscathed.
Mm-hmm.
They came out unburned. And the reason was because Jesus had to go in the fire so that they could come out unsinged.
Wow.
And that was just the heart of grace. Taking an Old Testament story and bringing it back for us, this idea that Jesus takes our position.
Mm-hmm.
He takes the burning. He takes the fire so that we can go unscathed and unsinged. Matt closed off with the point, you are worthy of the blood of God.
Yes.
Is that so powerful?
Yeah.
Now, how do you view yourself? You ever think about that? Oh, man. My head's too big, right? Oh, man, I'm insecure. Oh, man, people don't like me. Yo, for the sake of God, stop saying that.
Mm-hmm.
God says you are worthy of his blood.
Come on, man.
You're worthy of the blood of a God. Amen. How does that shape the way you think about yourself? Amen?
Amen.
And then that was Friday night, so we had a long bus ride up, and then we finally got some sleep. I know none of you guys got sleep, including myself. And then we had in the morning a men and women's split lesson. And I wasn't there for the women's lesson, because I'm a man. But I do want to share briefly about the men's portion, and just brief, so that you girls can hear it too. It's inspiring. Matt Weber and Jordan Massey, two brothers who are really just doing incredible things for God, came up and challenged the men, asking them, where is your heart?
Right.
Where is your passion? Where is your desire? And Matt Weber really said, he goes, I question not the potential, I don't question the ability, but I question the willingness and the heart of the men in this room.
Yep.
And the women too. Right? He goes, God has given us a mission to do incredible things, but are we going to take it? Where is our heart? Where is our desire to take what God's given us
right. And
really run it to him? And the point he made, one of the so challenging points he said, is that the name on the front of the jersey is way more important than the name on the back.
Right?
Being part of God's team, God's body, is far more important than the Rupert on the back.
Yeah.
It's not about your name. It's not about who you are. Making a decision that I'm going to follow God.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do whatever it takes to be kingdom focused. That's what he really harped on, is being kingdom focused. And then Jordan Massey, sisters, you're going to like this one. I don't know. I think maybe you should like both. But Jordan Massey came up, and he's part of a campus ministry where there's 202 disciples.
Wow.
In the last 3 years, they baptized 190 campus students. What? Dude, we live in a kingdom where that's going on.
Yeah.
Right? Why can't that happen in New Jersey?
Right.
Yeah.
So powerful. And so what he said is that sometimes we worship the kingdom rather than the king. Is that it's our call to be hot spiritually. We got to be on fire for God. And he challenges us all. He goes, you know, you guys are doing a lot of things. You got studies, you got schoolwork, you got friends, you got Netflix, you got sports, all these things. But raise your hand if you know how to study the Bible with somebody all the way through. Mm. And guys, it was so challenging. Maybe like 10% of the room,
right.
Wow.
5% of the room raise their hand. Mm-hmm. It's really the campus ministries raise their hand. But if we're trying to see explosive growth, hot for the Lord, God doing amazing things, we have no better way to spend our time than learning the Bible study series.
Yeah.
Learning how to sit down with somebody and transform and bring them to a point of salvation.
Yeah.
And that's our challenge. So he gave us two challenges for the men, for the women. You can take this too. But he says, fast for the first month of school. Decide what you're going to fast from. Fast from the thing that keeps you from being unproductive. And that first month of school, let it go. What's that going to be for you? And lastly, he says, bear fruit, make disciple. Every one of us, let's make a disciple. He said to a room of 700, 600 men. Imagine what ICMC is going to be like as a result of that. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
We're recapping. So you guys, I hope you're thinking about what are you going to share? What convictions have you developed? I'm just trying to get you guys there. And then Perry Key.
Come on.
Saturday night came up. You know, some blasphemy was said about him, saying that he is God. Just so you know, Perry Keith is not God. So he challenged us. This is such a good point. He said, we got to understand God not through religion, but we got to understand God for who he is. Because the Israelites, when they looked at God, they saw God in the cloud. They saw God in the firestorm and the power and all that he is. And when they saw who God was, they were transformed as a result. They didn't look at him through the lens of religion. We got to challenge ourselves to look at God for who he really is. Not what the church says he is, but who the Bible says he is and the nature of who he is. And then lastly, Chris Zillman preached Sunday morning for our church service. He said, kingdom come is that we as disciples of God need to be rabble rousers and troublemakers. Every act of faith that we do ushers in a new bit of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Every simple act, every large act, whatever we do, that's God. That's God bringing a portion of his kingdom into this world. Whether it's one person you share with, five people you baptize, every act of faith is God ushering his kingdom. Amen? Amen. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend a couple of minutes. We have 15 minutes. And whoever wants to share, you have 1 to 2 minutes to really just share what decision you made from ICMC. What's one big thing you learned, a conviction that you developed? And you have the platform to share it. So if you're going over 2 minutes, I'm going to tap you on the shoulder and say, please sit down. But we just want to hear it, because we want to hear what inspired you and hopefully encourage one another as a result. Okay? So by show of hands, who would like to share about something they learned from ICMC? Okay, awesome. So come up and line up, and then in 15 minutes, I'll wrap up, and then I'll give one closing charge, and then we'll close for song fellowship, all right? So come line up over here.
Hannah, pop off. Pop off, Hannah. We missed you. We want to hear from
Hannah, you.
Can you
back this up just like a foot? No, the other way. Just stubborn belly.
Come on, Hannah. Come on, Hannah.
Awesome. All right.
Let's go.
So, guys, coming into ICMC, I was feeling not really fired up. I was like, what am I even doing here? I was just really insecure about a lot of things, and so all the lessons, I was just like in tears, but so all together, I just felt like everything made so much sense, like the way they went through all the classes and everything. And so it's hard, but I didn't just learn like one conviction from a class and I was just like, oh, I'm running away with that. But just all the classes, I just thought about all the potential fires I'm gonna go through this semester and just stemming from a lot of my insecurities and just on campus with the Bible talk, I can be really shy and I want to be so rooted in prayer. I think that was one thing I really learned from this conference, and I've been studying it out all summer, is just how important prayer is. And one of the points they made was that only God can move mountains, but only prayer can move God. And so I was just really convicted, like, what am I praying about, and do I like faithfully believe that he can move mountains in my life? And so I want to be so rooted in prayer that I'll be bold enough to even be a troublemaker on my campus for God. So that's
awesome.
Me.
So there were so many things, but I went into ICMC with the mindset that God was going to talk to me personally.
Yeah.
And that I would be able to hear the common thread through different things and, you know, have my heart disposed. And so what was really crazy was the very first message that was shared, I had actually shared with somebody about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego earlier in the week. And I was like, are you serious? Really? And so right then I was like, okay, God, you've got my attention. But really what he told me that I'm really inspired by came through one class. I don't remember the title. But the whole idea is that our egos can get inflated. Like, we're like, yeah, you know, I did this, I did that, I did the other thing. Yo, my campus is cranking, we're doing it. And I can have that mindset. And then also, like, when things aren't going well, it deflates. It's like a balloon. But the message really was that we are worth the blood of Jesus. And so if that is filling up that balloon, like if that balloon is filled up with the concrete knowledge that God loves me no less than before I was baptized and no more after I was baptized, that I really don't have to, you know, I don't have to be concerned about what people think. And then the biggest conviction was, it's like, if you try to follow God outside of that grace, it's a waste of time.
Yeah, right.
And so with that in mind, okay, then what sort of changes, what sort of decisions do I make? Man, there's tons. But I know that I'll be able to fulfill them because I want to uphold the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. By this you will know that we are his disciples. That without love I am nothing. And so because God loved me so much, I'm not going to inflate, I'm not going to deflate. Hopefully not as much as I have in the past. That's
right.
You know what? I'm here. I'm saved. But you know what? This world needs to be saved.
Yeah, right.
I need to be part of that. And I need to serve the poor. I need to love my neighbor. I need to save the lost.
Awesome. Come on, Sua.
Come on, Sua. Sua, yes, sir.
So I went to ICMC before I went, and I was praying to God to, like, show me what I need to learn in my character.
Yeah.
And what I need to go in. So I went to a class called Breaking Down the Wall of Independence. Mm. And they was comparing Saul to David. And she was giving an example of, like, how we can sometimes be independent. And she said something like, sometimes we feel like we're entitled to have certain things from God, and God's just like, you're not entitled to have anything from me. Like, I give you that. And part of me, and she was talking about how we go to D-Time. Do you go to D-Time because you really need help? Or do you go to D-Time to validate what you think you already know, in a way? Mm. And I was just like, yeah, that's me. and then she was pretty much talking about how even through, like, she was in Samuel, 1 Samuel 30, and she was talking about how the Philistines, I guess, they took David's wife and all the soldiers' wife and the horses and all their belongings, and the man wanted to kill David. But even during that time, David prayed. Like, and even after the man still trying to attack him, he prayed still in that time, turmoil and emotions. And it really stuck with me because I'm just like, do I pray before I even do anything? Do I include God into my plans, or do I make my plans and then try to ask God to follow what I'm doing? And if she also told me in the class, she was like, do you seek after God's input first, or do you seek after your own God, input first? And do you include God in everything you do? And I really don't most of the times. I really try to go with my own wisdom. And I love how she compares Saul to David, because it made me realize I have a heart of Saul right now instead of a heart of David. Mm. And I really want to make that conviction of having a heart of David, like to seek after God first before I seek after my own self, my own wisdom. Yeah. So that's what I learned.
Wow.
Good job, sir.
Come on, Skosky.
So, this is like my first ICMC, so I was like super, super pumped.
Yeah!
I was really like going in, just saying like, God, like, just show me like the classes that I need to like go to and things that I really want to like grow in or need to work on. I think just overall, like, I just learned so much like about just who God is in general of this like whole, like the whole, honestly, the whole conference, like, but I think one thing that stood out to me was the first lesson of Matt Fisk and how he was talking about, like, idols and how we have idols in our lives. Mm. And I think it was funny because I caught myself, like, while he was talking about, like, the Israelites and how they always just searched for, like, idols and new idols, and they had the like living God, but then they chose to choose like to follow these idols in like, their lives and stuff. And then I was like, ooh, the Israelites, man, like they don't even know what they do. And I was like, and then he was like, okay, but what about you though? Like, you have the living God,
yeah,
and you still choose to have these idols. And I think one thing that he said that was really powerful, how like we can't serve two gods, you know, like we can only serve like one God. And so I think, like, when he said that, it, like, rocked my world, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm not fully serving my, like, Lord and Savior, because I have these idols that I'm, like, just, you know, like, really just craving, in a way. And so I think, for me, like, I was just saying, like, one conviction that I really gained was just, like, identifying the idols that I really don't want to, like, admit, you know, that they're there, but, you know, you saying, like, you know, yeah, like, you gotta talk about it, you have to, like, really, like, take on the idol, know that it's there, right. And then, so that way you can break it down, you know? So,
yes, guy.
That's just definitely been something that I've been, that's been really put on my heart, is just identifying the idols in my life. And just with God's power, just really being like, God, I don't want this anymore. I want you instead.
Yeah.
Through his power, just knocking down those idols in my life. So.
Come on, Scott. Come
on, Rosa. Rosa Bale.
So the class that I decided to go to was The Fire That Refines. And it just basically talked about how like our trials are for a purpose. Like oftentimes I have the tendency to like blame God for what I'm going through. But
they said that the trials result in praise and honor to God, and it's possible to have great joy and grief through trials. So they had defined happiness as a finite state of emotions, and joy as contentment in whatever the circumstances. And I had to ask myself, like, am I the type to like have happiness or like joy when I'm going through things? And I realized that I need to have joy, because no matter what happens, like, I know that God, you know, is there. And one of the convictions that I had to make was not to miss meetings of the body, because that's something that I struggle with. Because when I'm going through something, I tend to distance myself and isolate, but I know that like God calls us to like be together whenever we're going through trials. So hold me accountable to that, people.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will do.
What I got out of ICMC, the main thing was Chris Zillman's lesson on Sunday.
Come on.
And when he talks about the kingdom, and I think the biggest thing I got out of this conference, more of just a reminder, is that all that matters is that the kingdom is coming.
Yeah.
And Jesus is coming back, and heaven and earth is going to be made one. And if our lives don't have anything to do with that, then your life is meaningless.
Come on.
It's not about building the kingdom.
Mm.
And so I think Chris just did a great job of like reminding us that like why we're here is to get people ready for Jesus coming back.
Yeah.
And that's just a fact.
Yeah.
He's coming back. He's going to judge the whole world. And if you're clothed with Jesus, you're going to heaven. If you're not, that's just, you're going to hell. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. But that it's an honor that we get to bring people with us, and that we get to spend our lives literally ushering in heaven to earth, like God's reign into earth, and that every day through our interactions with people,
yeah.
we can show people Jesus, and that God can be brought to earth. And so that's just challenged me. I'm like, man, are all my decisions kingdom focused? Or do I get caught up in this world, even though this world is promised to go away? You know, and so it was just so humbling and honestly inspiring. And so I'm just excited to be back in William-Patterson and just have a kingdom mindset, just thinking how today is heaven going to break even to the campus?
Right.
How today is that going to happen? And, so I'm just excited for that. But just how Chris just stated, like, this is the fact. Like, the kingdom is coming. Just how inspiring and encouraging that is, that we have something to look forward to as disciples. So I was really encouraged by that.
Guys, so we're running short on time, so what we're going to do is we'll do Shauna, Charles, and then I'm happy. Then I'll come back up.
So I was walking into ICMC, and I was, because I'm reading this book about when God could wait, and there was this chapter I was talking about God's grace and how God's grace is big enough, and it's like, it's in depth enough to like, consume me, and I was like not understanding it. I was understanding it mentally, but in my heart I wasn't. And I felt like ICMC, the whole thing, like Matt said, was all about God's grace, and that was awesome for me. And the first session that they talked about idols, I was sitting there and I'm like, what is my idol? What do I, when I go to sleep, what do I really think about? And I'm like, I don't even know. So I went to bed that night and I really was like, what's my mind gonna think about? And I thought about how like being a perfectionist in a way that, and I went to the class the next day about Compelled by Grace, and they talk about being a perfectionist.
Wow.
And like, you could be a failing perfectionist. Like, there's one point in your life that you hold on to so tight, like, and you make sure it's perfect, and then everything else is falling apart. And then how you see people in this life that, I see people, and when they mess up, I'm like, why are you messing up? Why don't you know this?
Right.
And God doesn't see like that. God sees me and he has grace. He gives me grace, and why can I give people that grace? And I walked out of that class and I'm like, I am gonna be compelled by God's grace to give other people God's grace. And
wow.
I loved it, and I walked out with that.
Let's go!
Yep, let me try to do this as quick as I can. So, one of the things that I really, really took away from that, well, for me, I'm really a performance-based, I get my security in results, I get my security in a lot of things like that. And one of the classes I went to was insecurity, fighting security in God. And one of the passages that blew my mind was he shared Luke 10, verse 20. So the disciples are driving out demons and everything, and they're getting security from the results. So in verse 20, he says, however, do not rejoice that spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You know, and I was just like, wow, I put so much security in my results and what I do, and I kind of measure my relationship with God based off how well I did, or, you know, that's just kind of where my security comes from. But Jesus says that, no, your security needs to come from the fact that you're going to heaven.
Right.
No matter what happens in this world, no matter results you get, your salvation is secure.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's where my foundation should be. Mm-hmm. And I was so convicted and so inspired by that. And another thing that I was inspired by was I realized I was missing one essential part of Jesus' ministry, and that's serving the poor.
Right.
Like, I was so impacted by just the Hope Youth Corps, all the videos and everything, and I made a decision that I'm going to go to one this year.
Yes.
So I'm going to raise the money, and I'm going to go out there, because I don't want Jesus to say, I was hungry, you didn't feed me,
right.
I was thirsty, you didn't give me nothing to drink. And I don't want that to be my heart, and I don't want to see Jesus come and say that to me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go out, I'm going to serve. And amen. That's what I'm saying.
So I went to camp this summer, and something that was revealed in my character at camp is that I don't live like I have grace at all. That's not part of my character. That's something that I definitely need to work on to grow in. That I just am a complete perfectionist. I'm a type A kind of person. I'm just like, why isn't it done the way I think it should be done? Why isn't it happening the way I think it should be happening? For myself more than I focus on it for others, so I decided to go to the Compelled by Grace class. Makes sense. And so one of the points that she said was that perfectionism plus religion equals Pharisee. And that last time she checked, the Pharisees didn't get grace. And I was like, what? So, and something else that she said was just like, perfectionism doesn't make you feel free. Like, that doesn't give you freedom. Like, you're so stuck on, like, controlling every situation, but God just wants you to be free. Perfectionism isn't, like, a strength that I should be proud of, but it should be something that I'm trying to give up. I think something that I'm gonna do is I'm really gonna let go and let God, because I just, perfectionism is so tiring.
Yeah.
I just need to let God.
Thank you.
All right, so a lot of you guys didn't get to share. So what I encourage you to do is that when we break for fellowship, take some time just to ask, hey, what did you learn from ICMC? Can I share with you what I learned from ICMC? Let that be kind of the buzz in the fellowship, all right? Make sure you take some time to really do that with somebody.
Awesome.
And then in your D times this week also, in your Bible studies this week also, share what you learned. What are some convictions that you developed? Let's talk about this. I'm going to close out with one scripture, and this is a scripture that is challenging, because it really calls us to make a change and not just hear things. James 1, verse 22.
Come on.
New Jersey Campus Ministry.
Okay.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says.
Right.
Anyone who listens to the word and goes to an ICMC, goes to an awesome conference, but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets who he looks like.
Come on.
Wow.
You know, you can go to this conference and you could waste a lot of money. You can buy a very expensive mirror and waste a lot of money if you forget what you look like as a result.
Come on, man.
But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Whoever looks intently and continues in it. Guys, we got to be intentional with what we learn. We got to be intentional from hearing what others learn and applying that. And we have to continue in it at whatever cost. Because this weekend was amazing, I agree. We always talk about, wow, I got hype from that lesson, I got hype from that conference. Hype is gonna die out, that's fine, I understand that. But your convictions won't die out.
Yeah.
You need to make decisions. What am I gonna do as a result of this? Who am I gonna be as a result of this?
Come on.
Okay? And I want you all to make a decision tonight that you're gonna be different. And stick to that and share it with somebody. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So with that, we're going to have one more song and we'll close out in prayer.